Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
We're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, and let's read our text, verses 6 and 7, in the Word of God. I hope that you'll take a moment and find it in your Bibles so that we can follow along together. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I suppose it almost seems like old news now to talk about so much of the panic that has surrounded the coronavirus in these days. We've all seen and heard about the toilet paper being cleared out and people panicking. And then it was the groceries as people panicked and stockpiled massive amounts of groceries. And sometimes it even feels like, though we know that our government is trying to be just careful, sometimes it seems like our governments and our government leaders are panicking and closing down everything for this virus. People investing in the stock markets have panicked. And though we understand that things could certainly be a lot worse than they are, we have witnessed probably more panic in these days than what you and I have seen in decades of living in the United States of America. And if it isn't panic, it would be the twin sister of worry. Dads can look courageous, but they can tend to worry about what might happen in this area or that area if this happens or that happens. They could be tending to worry. Moms worry because that's sometimes what moms do. They worry, right? Even some kids worry at times as they think about what if and what if and what if. Right now they're just excited that there's no school this next week. But they can tend to worry if they really stop and think about this. During times like this, people need to know how to have peace instead of panic. And you know, there have been times in which we have a sense of peace. We're walking with the Lord, and then we can get this news bulletin. We see yet another update on a situation. Something else closes. We're out in public. We talk to somebody. We get a text from somebody. And here we are one moment in peace and tranquility. And the next minute, inside our hearts, we're all nervous. We're all full of panic. What's going to happen? Is this going to take place? Is this going to close? Is this going to shut down? Are they going to be out of this? Whatever. And here we were calm in one moment and filled with panic and worry in the next moment here. And we need to know how to deal with panic. We need to know how to have peace instead of panic. And the awesome thing is that God's Word has taught us how we can have peace instead of worry and panic in our hearts and lives. And maybe you're not filled with panic and worry in regard to the coronavirus and COVID-19, but at times we can have panic and we can have worry about other areas of our life. We can struggle with that. And so God has made it possible. He's such an awesome God, made it possible for us as Christians to have peace. And He's told us how in His Word, in this passage that we're going to be seeing today, exactly how to have peace instead of panic. So here we come to the book of Philippians, and Paul writes the book of Philippians from prison. Now, you have a lot of things to worry about, maybe, that you could potentially worry about. But I trust that for the vast majority of you, you're not worrying about prison. It's remarkable that he can write what he writes in the book of Philippians about rejoicing in the Lord and all of that from the aspect of prison. And Paul writes the book of Philippians to say thank you because the Philippians had supported Paul on his missionary journeys. He writes to say thank you. He writes because their pastor had come and had been a help. And so as their pastor went back home to their church there, he writes to encourage the people to honor their pastor for how he'd been a help. And he takes the opportunity in the book of Philippians to help them in a few other ways as well and dealing with one of the subjects that's here. Now, many different people who study out the Bible give different give different titles for what they would describe the message of Philippians to be. If I were to put a title on the whole book of Philippians, I would say this. It covers the mind of Christ. How you and I as believers ought to have the mind of Christ. Because to be honest, what goes on in our mind impacts so much of our lives. And if we could think like Jesus Christ does, it would change so much of our life. Yes, there's the emotional component. And yes, there are choices that are there. And yet, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I wonder, as we come into this, what's been going on in your mind? What thoughts have you been having as you've gone through these last several weeks in life? Are you in a panic? Are you thinking worst case scenario out there? Are you just numbing yourself and avoiding really thinking about it, numbing yourself with maybe all sorts of entertainment that you can find so that you don't have to think about it and you don't have to deal with it? Are you worried about every little situation and what if this and what if that? What's going on in your mind? Philippians deals with what is going on in our mind. Let's look at our text here in front of us. Verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. The word careful that we think about here and understand is not just the idea of being careful with a vase, that you don't drop it and break that vase and see it crash. That's not what it's talking about. The word careful here is the idea of being full of care, full of worry, full of concern. That's the concept that's brought out in this particular word. And the word is used in Matthew chapter 6, that was our scripture reading this morning. It's translated there in our Bibles. The word is thought. You're thinking about all these things. You're thinking about where are we going to get food and where are we going to get something to drink and where are we going to get something to wear here. And when we're thinking about the evil, we're thinking about the future, we're thinking about tomorrow. And there's so many different passages or so many different expressions that it uses there in Matthew chapter 6 of giving thought. Because worry fills our mind, right? When you're worried about something, it's all you can think about. It dominates your mind. It dominates your thoughts. And the passage says here, be careful for nothing. This is a command. And listen, Christian, I want to remind you, if you're a person of worry, that is not obeying the Lord. If you're a person filled with panic where that's dominating your life, understand that that's not obeying the Lord. If you want to just excuse your tendency to worry, if you want to just excuse your tendency to be anxious and fretting and concerned about all these different things, understand that is not obeying what God tells you to do. If you go through this entire coronavirus situation filled with worry, then you as a believer are disobeying, because this passage tells me to be careful or anxious or worried about nothing. Now I want to draw your attention to that fourth word in that verse, be careful for nothing. Do you know anybody who seems to just worry about everything? I mean, it doesn't matter what the situation is. They're worried about it. We might call them a worry wart or something like that. They're just worrying all the time, constantly anxious. Some people are like that, right? It doesn't matter. They everything is always dark. Everything is always gloomy. They're always worrying about everything. Some people have that struggle, but some people don't worry about everything. They just worry about one thing. They just worry about one thing. They have this little area of their life that is their struggle, and they have a tendency to worry about it. And maybe you're not worried today about toilet paper. Maybe you're not worried about childcare in these days without school. Or maybe you aren't worried about food, but you're worried about something else. It's your job and you're worried about it. Or it's your family and you're worried about them. It's your finances, and you don't worry about anything else, but finances are the thing that you worry about. Or maybe it's your future and decisions that you have to make, and this whole coronavirus thing isn't really bothered you, but you're worrying about your future and these major decisions that you have in front of you. Do you have an area, is there some area in your life where you really struggle with worry anxiety, it dominating your thoughts. The passage tells us, God's word tells us, to be careful for nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine just for a moment what it would be like if you didn't have any care at all? If you didn't have any concern, if you didn't have this worry and this anxiety, what would your life be like if you didn't have this worry? Would it help you sleep at night? Would it help put a smile on your face? Would you be able to just and breathe deeply? Would you be able to stand up straight because you're not all bent over with worry? Would it lessen the amount of wrinkles that you have on your face, as it were, because you've been worried and bothered by so many things? Would it put a spring in your step? What would your life be like if you didn't worry all the time about all these things or about that one thing in your life? God's word challenges us here, and it teaches us here how to have peace instead of panic. You need to know this for these days, for your own life. And maybe that you're going to have an opportunity to talk to a friend or a relative or a neighbor. And here God's word gives us three simple things to give peace instead of panic. You may be able to share those with other people. Or it may be something that you're not going to need at all through the coronavirus situation, but you're going to need it 6 months from now when you go through another situation and you tend to be worried. You tend to be anxious about that situation. So how do you have peace instead of panic? Let's pray briefly and we'll jump in here. Father, I do thank you for your word, and I ask that you would help us to learn these principles, and I ask that your spirit would help us to live these principles in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The three principles that we find here are brought out with three key words. We're going to see the words here. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Those are the three steps that we're going to be considering today. If you're going to have peace instead of panic, number one, you have to pray. Talk to God about it. You have to pray about it. This first word that he uses here in verse number 6 for prayer is the most common word for prayer, and it simply has to do with approaching God to pray. Can I remind you here this morning that the only way that you can approach God is through Jesus Christ. You have to know Jesus Christ as Savior. There must be a time in which you realize that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from a holy God, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine, and you decide that you're going to put your faith and trust in Jesus alone to save you. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you are born into God's family. That's how you're saved and have a home in heaven. And that's what gives you the privilege and the responsibility to pray, to come before God. So do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Prayer. This word prayer, the common word used for prayer in our scriptures. It just simply means talking to God about it. Now let me ask you, when you have a worry, when you have a concern, whom do you talk to about it? Is it something where you talk to your friends? You get on some sort of social media and chat it out? You whine and complain to everybody else in the office? You whine and complain to all of your relatives? You'll talk to everybody else in the world, in the planet, that you can possibly talk to. You'll talk to a total stranger in the grocery store about it. But you won't take 5 minutes in the morning to talk to God about it. Pray. Talk to God about it. That's what prayer is. And listen, if you're going to deal with your worry and deal with that sensation of panic, you are going to have to talk to God about it. That means you're going to have to give God your worry. You're going to have to go to God and say, God, I'm concerned about this situation. Will you please meet this need? Will you please deal with it? You're going to have to go to God and give God that worry. And you know what? You're going to even have to spend time continuing to fight that worry by taking it to God. Do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like to have worry all over you as thick as a swarm of bees? Eeyore's cloud, and it just kind of descends upon you like this great big fog. And here you are, and you're trying to fight it off. Here you are, you're trying to get away from this worry that's in your life. I know what that's like at times. And you go to God and you say, God, I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about this. It's really bothering me. And God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I am giving this worry to you. And you have peace for about 10 seconds. And then, whoom, the swarm falls on you again. And you're swatting it around and you're struggling with it. And you say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give this worry to you. I'm really, really struggling with it. And I just ask that you would take it. I'm giving it to you. I'm casting all my care upon you because you care for me. And you give it to God. And you're good for about 20 seconds. And then all of a sudden, whoom, and it descends upon you again. And you go to God and you say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm giving you this worry and I'm giving you this concern. And you're going to have to do that. That's part of what this word prayer reminds us of. That you have to go to God and give Him that worry again and again and again. Another aspect of this particular word for prayer is found at the end of verse number 6. Would you look there? It says, let your requests be made known unto God. Okay, so you have a worry. But you know the thing about worry? Sometimes they seem to be this big cloud, this abstract thing that you can't really like get your hands on. What are you worried about? It's just this big unknown thing that's out there. And what God says is this. If you're going to deal with that worry, you have to give Him specific requests. Get specific about it. Okay, so you're concerned right now that you have enough food. Don't just have this idea of worry out there. I'm worried about food. But instead say, God, we need flour. And God, the next time that I go to the grocery store, would you please provide flour for our family at this time? Let your requests be made known unto God. Get specific. Don't just worry about your health. But go to God specifically and say, God, as I am out today and interacting with people, help me not to come across anybody who has the virus. Be specific. Let your requests be made known unto God. Don't just worry about your finances. Go to God and say, God, I am specifically praying that my investments in this area would not tank, would recover. Or God, I'm specifically praying that you would provide X number of dollars or work by this date. Get specific with your request. Let your request be made known unto God. Don't just worry about your grades at school. Get specific and say, God, help me to have the discipline to get everything done on time to do my studies that I need to do. You see, many times that worry is just this cloud that's out there, and we've got to get specific and make our request before God. Have you ever thought about our worry in this regard? That God has chosen to work in our world in answer to human prayers. Could it be that God wants to do something, and so He has allowed a concern to come into your life to cause you to pray so that He can answer? God says, I want to do a work here. And I do that work in answer to people's prayers. What will help people to pray? Some concern, some burden in their life. And so therefore I'm going to allow that concern to come into their life so they will pray and so I can answer their prayers. That's how God works. He wants to answer. Listen, the way to deal with your worries and your concerns is not Hakuna Matata. It isn't just to numb yourself with movies and with entertainments to just try to block it all out. But instead, it's to go to God in prayer. It's faith. Did you notice that in the stories that we read in our scripture reading, He mentions in both of them the aspect of faith? O ye of little faith. We go to Him in prayer and express our faith and our trust in Him. There was a godly man who had a government job. And in his job, he was very close to the top. And with all things in politics, it was very dangerous. All of the factions and all of the fightings that were going on. And soon a new law came out that demanded that he do something that was against his conscience. What's he going to do? It's against his biblical beliefs. In fact, the government promised that he would not only lose his job, but in his situation, in his government, he would lose his life if he didn't obey the new laws. And what would Daniel do? Daniel went home and he prayed just as he had done before. Yes, consistent in his prayer. But I wonder if part of that prayer was also going to God and taking any worry or concern that might have been tempting for him to think about. And so if you're going to have peace and handle your panic, number one, you have to pray. Talk to God about it. We see a second word that's found in our text. It says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Our second word is this, plead. You have to beg God about it. Plead. The word prayer is the common word for prayer. This word supplication is a word that conveys the idea of a need and then begging God because you have a need. There's a major need that you have. Now listen, the message today does not promise you that you will never have a need. The message today does not promise you that you will have peace because you'll never have a need. In fact, this passage promises you that you're going to face a situation that is so serious, so full of need, that you're going to have to go and beg and plead God to work. There may be a situation in the future in which Walmart and Amazon literally aren't enough. I'm not trying to fill you with panic. I'm trying to explain the text. There may be a situation that you face in the future after all of this is over that you just face a massive situation of need. The very fact of the word supplication in the passage means that you are going to face situations of incredible need. You're going to have those. God's not going to keep you from situations of incredible need, but He gives you a way to meet that need, and that way is by going to God and begging and pleading. Now listen, I've got to ask you, if you have a major need, are you so used to talking to God that you would go to God and ask Him to help you with that need? Or are you a person who, you know, talk to God anyway? So when you have a major need, the last thing in the world that you think about is to really talk to God. You have a daily habit of going before the Lord in prayer so that you'll go before Him in pleading and supplication when those needs arise. And you know what this verse tells me and this word supplication tells me? That God expects me at times to be going before Him with passion and with intensity. That there's going to be some times where I'm going to go before God and say, God, I have a major need. That prayer isn't always just quiet and reciting my little list. And something in just hushed and reserved and quiet tones. But that I'm going to need a closet somewhere. I'm going to need a private room because I am going to groan and I'm going to express the need and the passion and the intensity of my heart. I will have a need. And God doesn't want me to be anxious and filled with worry. God wants me to come and pour out this need before Him. Abraham Lincoln is often quoted as saying this, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. You're going to face situations where you have nowhere else to go. The needs are going to be huge, and you're going to have to take that second step, not just to pray, but to plead. We come to the third word that I want you to see in our final one. It says that in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the word that I want you to see here is number three, praise. Thank God for it. Number one, you pray, you talk to God about it. Number two, you plead, you beg God for it. And number three, you praise, you thank God for it. Thank God for that area of worry. What? You want me to thank God for this thing that's causing everybody to panic? You want me to thank God for this thing that tends to keep me up at night? You want me to thank God for this area of stress and frustration in my life? You want me to thank God for that? And He says, yes, with thanksgiving. It's supposed to be a sincere part of your life. And listen, what you need to do is you need to take out a piece of paper and a pen, and you need to sit there and write the name of your worry at the top. Or maybe if you don't want to use a piece of paper and a pen, get out your cell phone and open up a note app on it. And at the top of that note, write the area of your worry. And then you need to make a list underneath of it, not only of the specific requests that you're going to pray about it, but you need to make a specific list of things that you want to praise God for because of that area of worry. Next time you're worrying, and next time you're really struggling with anxiety about an area, you try this exercise. And you list out 5, 6, 7, 10, 15, whatever the number is, of things that you can be grateful to God for because of this area of worry. I took a few moments and did it myself in regards to this COVID-19. What in the world do we have to be grateful for because of this virus? You know, it teaches us to wash our hands. And the more you watch the news, the more you realize how much we all need to be reminded of that. Doesn't it make us grateful for our health? Makes us thankful for the health that we as Americans tend to enjoy. Doesn't it make us grateful for the blessings that we have in the United States? There are blessings that maybe right now we're living without. Whether it's gyms being closed or barbershops or sources of entertainment. We have so many blessings. And now we're reminded of that. It makes you thankful for toilet paper. It makes you thankful for groceries. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have a garden that's big enough to feed me or my family. We're thankful that semi-truckloads of food come in. And that's on our radar a whole lot more than it was a couple weeks ago. We're thankful for groceries. We're thankful for increased family time that we can spend with each other because we're not running all over. We're thankful that the American idols of sports have died for a while. We're thankful that our hope is in the Lord during this time and that we have a hope. We have a hope in Him that so many of our world doesn't have. We're thankful that we're coming into the summer season. We're thankful for so many things. Listen, you need to take your piece of paper out and you need to write down your worry and then you need to write down all the things that you can be thankful to God for in that time. You might be just thankful that God can handle that worry. You might just be thankful that He promises to work all things together for good to those who love Him or are called according to His purpose. You might need to just thank God that He's given you the opportunity to deal with this worry, that He's given you the strategy to deal with it through prayer and pleading and praising. You need to make your list of things that you can be thankful to God for in the time of your worry. And I believe it'll help you. One pastor tells the story of a missionary during World War II. Evidently, his boat was torpedoed and the Germans picked him up. They picked him up, they put him in their ship, they put him down in the hold, and the missionary was absolutely terrified. He didn't know what was going to happen, he didn't know what they were going to do to him, and so here he was down in the hold, and he was just really struggling, and he's there for hours, he's there for a period of time into the night, and he really needs some sleep, but he was literally afraid to even close his eyes, because he didn't know what would happen. But he's a missionary. And he begins to think, you know, I need to handle this biblically. I need to have a relationship with God and walk with God in this situation here. And so he begins to think of the Word of God and meditate. And God drew his attention to Psalm 121. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The missionary thought about that a little bit and said, well, Lord, there isn't much use in both of us staying awake. And since you're staying awake all night watching the situation, I guess I'm going to get some sleep. And the missionary put his trust in the Lord, closed his eyes, and slept soundly through the night. What had happened was he began to look at God and express gratitude to God for handling the situation, and it helped him deal with his panic and his worry. And so here this morning, our simple goal in the message is to help you to have peace instead of panic. Because worries are going to come. Some of you may struggle with it far more than others, but there are going to be times in which everyone, even kids, teenagers, college students, struggle with anxiety, being full of care and worry. And God has taught us how we can deal with it. We should pray, we should plead, and we should praise God. And you know what I want to tell you here today? I want to tell you it's going to take work to obey this command. It's a whole lot easier to talk to everybody else than it is to spend 5 minutes talking to God about your worry. It seems to be a whole lot easier to just sit there and fret and stew on it than it is to get before God and make a specific request. It's a whole lot easier to just sit there and worry about it than it is to get out your pen and paper and write out your grocery list of all the things that God has done for you and all the things that you can be thankful for in that time. It's going to take work to have peace instead of panic. But it's going to be worth every ounce of effort. When you've given God those worries and you've given God those concerns. And so today, let me ask you, is it your problem with worry because you don't pray about it? You don't have a specific request. You're worried about this cloud out here, but you don't ever stop and talk to God about it. Or is it your problem that you don't plead with God? It's a major need that you have. It's a big situation that you have. And you don't have anybody else to talk to, but you haven't got in your closet, you haven't got before God and just poured out your heart to God and in supplication and expressed your need. Is that your struggle? Or is praise your struggle? Which one of these three is the area that needs to improve in your life? As you go through this situation of potential panic in our world today, do you need to work more on prayer, on pleading, or on praise? Rachel's dad was someone who is in this category of being those who are more susceptible to the coronavirus. He has a specific disease. It's called multiple system atrophy. It's a pretty rare disease, and what it does is in time it slowly attacks your respiratory system. And so the slightest little infection could literally be deadly. Rachel's there. She's thinking about her dad. She's thinking about the fact that he's very susceptible to the coronavirus. And she's beginning to think about all the what ifs about her dad. She texts her mom and asks, "Hey, are you all stocked up? You got all the medical supplies that you need for dad? He's got to eat special foods and everything to maintain his health in this time of panic and where food shortages exist in different places. Do you got everything?" Mom texts back, "I'm fine. We've got food for about 6 weeks. I'm going to the store to buy more supplies tomorrow." A little smiley face there. Rachel responds, "That's good. That's good to hear." And her mom texts back, "We're going to be fine. Don't worry." And Rachel responds, "I'm glad to hear that, but I'm still worried." She lives 900 miles away from her mom and her dad. And in this time, there's not a whole lot that she can do to get to be with her mom and her dad. But Rachel, as someone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior, doesn't have to live in panic. You don't have to live in panic. I don't have to live in worry and panic and be full of care and anxiety. But instead, I can have peace instead of panic. And so can you. It happens as you pray and as you plead. And as you praise God in that situation. And notice the incredible result that is there. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You can have peace instead of panic.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.